Well, a very good evening to you, and thanks for tuning in to another helping of Terrace Talk here on a Monday evening here in Kerry, on Radio Kerry. Even you can listen to us from 6 till 8 this evening, and of course you can catch up on podcasts as well, and any show you missed as well, there's plenty of them to get through as well. Now I'm Donal Byrne, be with you until 8 o'clock this evening with a show that features Senior County Football Championship Round 2. Of course, last week Round 1, plenty good reaction, so plenty comments, and hopefully get a lot more comments into us this evening as well. We'll talk rugby after the break, and we will catch up with basketball. Of course, basketball season is just around the corner, and hopefully we'll have a couple of Tralee Warriors, and we'll have members of the St. Paul's Women's National League team in with us as well. Well, certainly on the phone anyway. It's great to have basketball back, and certainly looking forward to the weekend. And speaking of things I look forward to every day, I suppose, every weekend, John Kennedy and Liam Broston back in studio to look at round two of the Garvey's Super Value Senior Football Championship. And I suppose in many ways we're moving into the couple of weeks where it's really getting serious now. A lot of teams probably out of the championship already, and some teams knowing that they must win games. So any comments, get in contact with us. 066-712-3666. Ivan will answer that for you. And you can text us as well, or WhatsApp on 083-300-3300, and a comment or a question to the panel, or maybe just a general query, or do you never know, maybe ask us about something that we'll go look for you and go find out. First of all, lads, before we get into it, did you find any new players at the weekend? Did you get cold?
Our list is much the same, really. A lot of ticks again, beside it, don't.
All right. Well, yeah. we'll take a look at the list at the very end of it. Of course, we'll go through it round one and group one as well, and I suppose where else would we start, I suppose maybe John, I suppose with the champions East Kerry, back to West Kerry, they went back to Lisbon. West Kerry wore two different jerseys, and with Lisbon to start, and they had their red after it as well. It was a comfortable enough win, I'd imagine, John. It was expected to be comfortable, and it panned out that way.
Yeah, it panned out that way. And look, as we said before, in spite of missing the two Cliffords, you know, they're by far the best divisional team. You know, they're firm favourites for the county championship, and I think their form has shown that. Mm-hmm. You know, West Kerry, who had done well in the previous round, missing the injured Rob O'Shea, but look, East Kerry have the strength and depth. They're playing with confidence, and they're improving. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, they kick 17 points.
Yeah.
You know, comfortable win.
Yeah.
And they're in the quarter final without really raising a gallop, as they say.
Yeah, they did. I suppose West Kerry, like, I suppose to be fair to them, I mean, like, you put up your stall. I mean, they won't be happy with that. They kicked 9 wides in the first half, which tells you, Liam, that they had a lot of possession, they had a lot of chances. And really, when you are the underdogs, you need to score your chances, don't you?
You do, yeah. And they probably needed the start that East Kerry got. Mm-hmm. You know, they went up 5 points.
East Kerry got a huge start.
They got a great start, yeah. You know, Darcy played very well for him as well. Was buzzing around. I think he had 3 points kicked by half time. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially against the breeze, because we know this weekend the conditions across the board for all games were a lot harder than the week before. But in fairness, Dar O'Shea up front, and I thought Cathal Ferreter, they worked hard. Mm-hmm. You know, with the ball that they got. You know, they tried, but just East Kerry are so strong all over the field, Donald. You know, their players, like Imut O'Shea again in the second half, kicked some long range scores. You know, they're fantastic kicking. When you have the likes of Jack Sherwood, you know, Dan O'Donoghue and these fellas, you know, it's just they're just too strong, really.
Yeah, Dara Roach again, 6 points
Roach up front.
You know,
yeah. Donald Downs, you know, you showed a lot of spark as well again. You know, he seems to be coming back to himself again. You know, so, and that's without the two boys.
And he picked up a black card as well.
He picked up a black card, and you know, you thought maybe West Kerry could drive on from that, but they look very comfortable. Looking at all district teams, looking at everything, but East Kerry just that so far ahead of everyone.
Yeah,
in that facet.
And I suppose if you go through, a lot of the players are playing in Division 1 and 2 of the county league.
A lot of them play county,
playing at a higher level as well. The other game in that group, of course, was South Kerry and Temple Knowe. Templemore, I suppose they're an amazing team in a sense. They are now in their fourth quarterfinal in four successive years. I mean, that is some story for a club that were playing novice football a couple of years ago to get up to this level and do enough to get into the busy end of the rounds as well. But they only had 1 point win at the end, John, over a game enough South Kerry out of it.
Yeah, South Kerry, you know, as we said last week, going with youth. They're doing well, you know, very unlucky again. But Temple Knowe, they don't seem to be beating any team, you know, even during the year by much, mm-hmm. but they're getting over the line. Again, Killian Spillane leading him there, Colin Crowley kicking
Stephen
3 points. Stephen O'Sullivan, you know, the same names are cropping up. And, you know, they're back in the business end of it again, like... you know, they're getting maximum out of what they have. Mm-hmm. Great club, and you know they're probably, you know, as you said, they went from five up, and they have what they have now. Like, what happens in the future remains to be seen about, with, you know, depopulation and numbers, yeah. and so on and so forth. But they're really doing well. But they're counting men, Tadhg Marley, they're really leaning by example, Gavin Crowley. They're getting the maximum out of them. Great win, great boost for them. But look, you'd have to feel sorry for South Kerry. So near and yet so far, you know, a 1 point defeat. And but look, a lot to be learned, and I'd say their management will get great hats from that, in that they are performing so close, yeah. but not just there yet.
Yeah, I think, to be fair to South Kerry, I mean, they were the business end of that game to the very end, but the experience of Temple, no, they were able to hold them from scoring, they were able to keep them out and the whole lot. And then, of course, Stephen Sullivan wins the free, and look, I suppose at the end of the day, if you look at it, Killian Spillane kicked the winner against West Kerry,
that's right,
gave him
yeah.
the point win. He kicked the winner yesterday, and that's the experience, obviously.
And it's probably club football as well, you know, just that helps a small bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And they came across the three club games,
the cohesion,
as well.
Yeah.
A game that Larry McCarthy went to, our president.
That's right, yeah, and he was over in Cordell as well.
You wouldn't have to spoil it for Temple Noah now, did you? Give Temple Noah their couple of seconds of fame. Yeah, Larry, he was inside in the crowd with him as well, which was quite good. That sets up the group, of course. Temple Noah now face East Kerry. Both teams, Liam, have won as such. Okay, they're both in the quarterfinals. Do Temple Noah have a right go at East Kerry now, knowing that they're in the quarterfinal anyway? Or is this one where both sides just get a bit cagey and you kind of run out the subs that aren't on the team, or that kind of way?
Well, I suppose the only advantage of winning the group is that you were playing a number two from another group.
Is that also much of an advantage, though?
Well, with all the teams that are in there.
Yeah.
You know,
as in, like, teams aren't great, as we'll say, like the soccer sense of the whole lot. I mean, you get three strong teams in a group.
Exactly, and if you look, I suppose, the one and twos out of each group, bar probably the East Kerry group mm-hmm. themselves, you'll be looking at the other groups are very close.
Yeah.
Now they're in much between the other teams. So this is the kind of game, I think, where both teams will rest their main players.
Yeah. Two pro districts, West Kerry, John, and South Kerry, back to Carstairs, I'd imagine, maybe Waterford at a stretch if the field isn't available. How do they approach this? I mean, both of them want to win. South Kerry haven't won a game, and it's been a while. West Kerry, I can't think off the top of my head, maybe in recent times. But how do they approach that game?
I'd say they'll go for it, Donal, in fairness, you know, because you said it's all about getting 2 points on the board and, you know, finishing off well. And, you know,
You're building for next year.
I was going to say that, yes.
Yeah.
You know, both sides are building. They have done quite well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know, like, the build-up, the lack of preparation, the time that's available for it, all that comes into it. But this will be, it's a yardstick, yeah. and it's a building block for next year. But I'd say, you know, they both go for it. Mm-hmm. You end up with something rather than end up with nothing after the games.
And they're both two young sides as well. Like, so, yeah. You'd be hoping that they go at it anyway and not make a kind of a joke of the competition, where we had a few in games last year and it didn't go down too well in a lot of places. No, so you'd be hoping that both teams will go at it, because
absolutely.
you're hoping that for the young fellas, it's easy to go to a young fella then next year and say, look, we'll give this a good rattle. But if you're going to be throwing our hats at it, the young fella says, sure, we did nothing last year.
Yeah.
No, so.
Speaking of two teams that really went for it, let's move on to Group 2, St Cairns and Kinmare Shamrocks. A draw, Liam. Which one of them will be more disappointed with a draw?
It's hard to know, because both teams had chances to win it.
Yeah.
And, like, both teams missed a lot in front of goals. You know, the one thing with Kearns, I suppose, and I said it here last week, Cordell is a hard spot to go to. With Kearns, we always kind of made it a fortress, so don't through the years. But I suppose Kearns will be happy with their performance, because they're getting better. You know, they had better performances now from Paul Welsh. You know, Michal Reedy was a big loss tomorrow at centre back. You know, I think if he was there, he'd be that little bit of driving forward they needed around there. And of course, Eddie Horn, after coming off the airplane from America, arrived in with his bag, and he came on and he changed the game completely towards the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
No, so
and to be fair, like, we often talk about forwards and scores and all that. Luca Brosnan and Brian Leonard, two yeah. guys who are... Yeah.
Luca did very well in Stephen O'Brien.
Didn't he?
Did yeah. very well in Stephen O'Brien, yeah. yeah. And Brian Leonard with Sean O'Shea had a fantastic battle all the way through it as well. You know, and that was probably the front legging that St. Kieran's needed, because you needed to stop the two boys.
Yeah.
No, I know about stopping him, but you needed to nullify him a small bit. Kieran's did nullify him a bit, all right.
They were competitive with him.
Yeah.
John, 2 points in the second half by Kinmare. I mean, I know, I suppose the weather was fairly bad in most places, but it's not enough really, is it? You need a bit more, don't you?
It's not enough, tough, but as you say, the conditions are contributing to all that. And like we just mentioned, Luca Brass and Brian Leonard, the two main men were well marshalled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we said it here last week, like Sean O'Shea, Stephen O'Brien, they're the leaders. They're the go-to players to get scores. When they're nullified, you know, it's where are they going to get the scores from? And, you know, that's the vital point for the Kearns. They're going in now to Field Rangers next week, and you win the game.
And you're through to the quarterfinal.
You're through. Yeah. And that's a massive carrot for them. You know?
They'd probably be disappointed with the goal they conceded. Big high ball into the square and David Halsey got his toe to it. You know? So yeah, I think St. Kieran's going into the round now with Field Rangers will be very happy.
And I suppose Sean O'Kerrigan.
Yes, I was going to say that he made two massive saves in the second half. Like
what we said last
Adam
week.
Adam Dunham cleared the ball off the line.
Fallen on from last week. Again, he's one of the top keepers in the county.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he proved that again. You know, so you need all those things. And you know, it's a very narrow line between victory and defeat.
I think Jimmy Lahan, we have to mention him because he did play well for Kilmare. He did show in the first half.
He got a couple of points as well.
He got a couple of points. He got a vital point there near the end as well. I think about the 51st minute.
Yeah,
and he was buzzing around there, causing trouble.
John Kennedy, one swallow doesn't make a summer. Jack O'Connor said that one time. I've been saying it an awful times. Referring to Field Rangers, last year's semi-finalists, weren't they?
Yeah.
They didn't really do it against Rathmore, did they?
No, they did not. And, you know...
Would they be disappointed by that now?
They would. There's no doubt about it. Like, because, you know, as you said, last year they made great strides. They played some great football and, you know, there were the surprise packets from it. But, you know, you'd have to come back again and say, like, you know, I know the Listowel has tugged out with them and all that, but they're a huge part of Field Rangers. Is one eye on a final. And, you know, we're going over all ground here. Should those have been out of the way? You know, I start with some of the Tarber fellas as well that are not involved with Shannon Rangers. Is the reason that we're waiting for a final, this club thing. You know, it's something that has to be looked at, but you'd have to say, not taking away from Rathmore.
And then I could turn that over and say, sure, it didn't affect Ballymac at all, playing for St. Cairns. I mean, they embraced it enough. They went and all that. They'll be disappointed with their shooting. I mean, you win the toss, you get a gale of wind, and it takes 20 minutes to score with wind at your back.
It's not good enough at that level, you know. And look, if you take Barry Mahoney's goal out of it, you know, it was a rout, really, you know. And they'll be disappointed because they know that a lot of work went in last year with Field Rangers. You know, it's sometimes you put in the same amount of work, you don't get the results. But Rathmore, a very decent club side. Mm-hmm. You have the Ryans, you have Paul Murphy, you know, John Mine and all these guys. John Mine showed well again, you know, they're in the business end.
Yeah.
They're tough.
And yet, Liam, they might not get out of the group.
Exactly, they have to win. It's looking like that they'll have to
beat Kilmare
down in Kilmare to get out of the group.
4 o'clock on Sunday,
4 o'clock on Sunday, and at Kilmare that'll be a hard place. No, a home game from. I think Kilmare will be relishing that.
Like, if you think about it, I mean, Kilmare. Okay, Dingle are the club champions, but I mean, like three of the last 4 years, they've been at the top end of that final. They've played a lot of good teams all the way through. Will Rathmore feel that, you know, this is good for us? You know, we can have one good attack at this guy.
Well, it's kind of I won't say it's a kind of a game you've nothing to lose, but you can go down and say we can have one crack off this because no one will expect anything off. They're intermediate champions from last year, so, and we're looking at Kilmare, who've been sitting at the top table for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you were in charge of Rathmore, you'll be kind of going down and say, lads, we'll give this a good rattle. And when they have the likes of the Ryans and John Minehan and these fellas and Paul Murphy, and they're all playing well. And the one thing that Rathmore have, like, you know, they have a right. Now, you look at some clubs, but they're a sticky bunch. And it's very, very hard to turn them over easily. And it's, so they kick 116 the weekend, which in bad weather, which is good kicking. So they'll be have to kick that again the next day to be a Kildare.
They had a great spread of scorers, because a lot of teams that scored so little during the week, obviously the weather and the whole lot. But I mean, Paul Murphy, 2, Mark Ryan got 2, Fionn Murphy got 2, James Darmody got 2, Shane Ryan got 4, John Mayne got 2. They're producing players who didn't just get one score, but they got a second score, and they might have got a wide with it as well. So, I mean, they're not afraid to shoot, basically.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But the club that they have, they're a very sticky bunch, and they will spread the load around the field. They won't be depending on one fella to do everything for them. We know Shane is one of their main pivotal kind of target men, but they have guys that can chip in as well. Yeah. So I wouldn't write them off, but they're going down to a tough place against probably the second best club team in the county at the moment. Well, they proved it because they got to the county's club final.
So you're writing them off already, are you?
I'm not writing them off, no, but it's hard to go down there.
Have worn the Kerry jersey too.
Oh, they have, yeah.
You know, and they're 8 or 9 scorers. You know, it's different to Kinmare if you hold the 2 boys. Where the scores come from.
And of course, John, us being North Kerrymen and South Kerrymen, and I will draw sort both of them, wouldn't it?
We'll go to scores then, wouldn't it, if Cairns win?
Then put Cairns out, then you'll...
But isn't this a real championship game now, though?
Yeah.
Right, more in Kinmare, down in Kinmare. You'll have a big crowd of that.
But Kilmare will have to play better than they did against St. Kieran's if they're going to get a result from Rathmore. That performance over in Cordell probably won't get them over the line against Rathmore.
Yeah, I suppose they were only holding back in front of the president as well. thanks so much, guys. Get your comments in. We have a couple of comments coming in already. I'm going to fire one at you just to let you start off with it. It's a clever enough one, to be fair. Does the panel think that it's correct to play some games in pitches that are clearly not good enough, according to this listener, to host matches, especially in this bad weather? Some clubs have small stands, some clubs have no stands at all. Have you a small one out there in SD, or have you no one?
We have a stand.
Fine stand.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in Ashford on Saturday evening, I was in SD yesterday, but it's a huge boost for a small club to get a county championship game. There's no doubt about it. I think that the pitches all over the county now are at a real good standard. The pitches weren't a problem. You know, if there wasn't a stand, obviously with the weather, it was a problem for spectators. But I felt that, you know, there was atrocious conditions. But I know from our own pitch yesterday, it was an all-weather pitch, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. But the conditions, the wind and the rain, were dreadful. And, you know, if you hadn't a stand, well, it would be the real diehards. But, you know, it's very easy to say, we'll go into the big grounds, we'll play the matches, you know, in maybe the likes of Listowel or Castlevine or Ossenstack Park or wherever you might be, Fitzgerald Stadium, you know, that's fine. But what about the small clubs? I know the work that our own fellas put in, and I was in Adfert. You could see the pride in those guys.
Yeah.
The stewards, you know, we have a championship game here. I sat at home yesterday with the same lads. They were at it for 9 o'clock yesterday morning. You know, a fantastic day and a great boost for the community.
And that's right, that you're showing off your ground that's the volunteers have put so much work into.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. And a lot of people have sold a lot of tickets. They've contributed to the draws, and now you get your championship match. I think it's great.
And in the same vein to that, it's amazing how the comms come in. Some week we're talking about David Clifford, but no David Clifford so far. Anyway. The weather, Donal, at the weekend provides a great leveller for teams and players. And I think they all done so well in them. But what about the club volunteers who braved the weather, stewarded, and parked people's cars?
Yeah.
You didn't park cars for people, did you, sure?
They did.
They directed them.
They did, in fairness. And that's part of it, Donald. You know, these
it is
guys,
part of it. Absolutely. It is. And people worked in shops and people...
And like it's we're talking about a professional era. But this is the diehard volunteer.
Yeah.
They're in every county. In every club.
It's the amateur ethos that we love. I mean, this is what it is. And I mean, obviously, you know, they were in Lisbowl, which was fantastic to see them in Lisbowl.
Cordell
had
them. And not only that, we saw a lot of, like yourselves, a lot of spread of food, and you know, everyone comes together. It is a kind of a carnival kind of a thing, all right, when it comes to the small clubs.
We'll talk about the food after break, right? For now, we'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry here on Radio Kerry. Of course, we're here till 8 o'clock this evening. I'm in the company of John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan, and of course, and we're looking back at the weekend's action of round two of the Garvey's football, senior football championship. And it's really getting to the business end. Group three, a lot of groups are kind of over, and I suppose there's teams, but this group is wide open all the time. A Shannon Rangers win will put them right back into it. John Kennedy, of course, you were watching Shannon Rangers up close and personal against Mid Kerry. Would they have been disappointed?
I'd say they would, Donal. You know, the scoreline, 6 points victory in the end for Mid Kerry. You know, they were. They always looked like winning it.
Mm-hmm.
But midway through the second half, there was a point in it. And a great Rangers move, and I think it was Podge Boyle. The ball just dropped short. Sean Coffey in goals, and they went up the field and got a goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had Brian Liam Carey, he got a goal, you know. The substitutions they made, Caelan Tehan came on there for the injured Jack O'Connor, who suffered a shoulder injury, and we hope that he's not too serious, you know, another great talent, and hopefully he'd be back. Gavin Horan came on and got a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the likes of Mike Breen and Darren Holhan, that we said last week, they have a great spread of players, and let's not forget the Midtown Castlemaine contingent weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge difference. But for Shannon Rangers, they have strides made, you know, very similar to Field Rangers last year, only that they haven't qualified as yet anyway. But Jason Foley was back at fullback. He had a structure around him, and he had the confidence.
He was kind of settled, wasn't he?
Correct.
Kind of settled everything
around
him.
And I thought Mitch Foley, Mitch as we call him,
yeah.
and Robert Stack, they were outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, they played really, really well.
There was a phase that game where they were totally on top at midfield. I mean, they were gathering ball, they were attacking, they were spreading it. Particularly in the opening part of it, I mean, I was impressed with Shannon Rangers. The quality of the couple of points they got at the start. I mean, they were really put it down 40 yard over the bar.
Oh, they did. It was great.
Kevin Goulding kicked a massive point as well.
Kevin Goulding and Killian Langan were very impressive above. Great work about it. But above all, I thought that there was, you know, they had a squad of players that were willing to play for Shannon Rangers, and Pat Driscoll has this brought into them. And like, as you said in the intro there, you know, a victory next week, depending on the results.
You never know, then.
You never know.
Yeah.
But it's progress. But look, Mid Kerry, as we said, they're a team with a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Another victory without firing in all cylinders, I'd say.
They missed the rake.
They did.
I mean,
and that's my fear from Donal.
Will their forward unit be strong enough? No, admittedly, there was no Aina Connor and there was no Killian Burke in that. I suppose that will weaken you, certainly. But there's still that question mark over to, have they got enough firepower to face an East Kerry, to face a Dingle, to outscore them.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday when it comes down to it, they only scored 11 scores.
Four
of them were goals.
Like, they pulled ahead at one stage, they went up to 6 points, but then he brought it back to three again, and they could never really, they were struggling until they got the goal. It was the penalty, really, that seemed to change the
whole
thing.
Well, it was the two goals in 40 seconds.
They got the penalty, and then they got the goal after, and it kind of changed the whole game,
There's a lot of pace in them. You know, Keith Evans and those, they have a lot of pace now, in fairness, and Fiacre Clifford. You know, I think that they're a bit off.
Yeah, Fiacre Clifford, obviously, super. Can I talk about Derek Cleary? He's good, that we don't mention a lot. I mean, he was instrumental, particularly in the first half. I thought, you know, he got on a lot of ball and he drove and you know, he was very, very busy, and he chipped in with his couple of points. Where's he on this radar by you?
Yeah, he's even last week he played well. I know he was substituted towards the end of the match, but he worked his socks off. And I had Dara at development squad level, and Dara is a very honest player. I'm sure the Cleary breeding is there, so the football is in him. But yeah, very impressive now again the weekend. You know, he's after getting strong as well. That's the one thing. Yeah, very strong on the ball as well. Yeah,
good hands.
You know,
he's not afraid either. There was one incident in the first half where he went in and the keeper came out. Kevin O'Connor. It was a nasty enough clash, but both guys got up and went on. There was no showboating or anything like that. You know, he was impressive. Yeah. Kicked 2 points.
And a very intelligent footballer. Yeah,
Liam, Shannon Rangers, we'll move on. I suppose maybe like a lot of districts, does it come across that when you're lacking that strength and depth on your bench, that teams like Shannon Rangers and South Kerry and West Kerry, that you can't compete against these Kerrys who are putting on, and like Mid Kerry yesterday, sure they rolled off the big guns as well when they needed. Is that just something people have to live with?
It is, yeah. But look, East Kerry, you go back to East Kerry, everyone wants to play with East Kerry.
Mm.
Now, if you're a club in East Kerry and you want...
No, they do. There was a time when East
they
Kerry
couldn't
was...
get a team. Remember, no. They were nearly gone out of the championship, but they couldn't field a team. But but that success will always bring that anyway. And for the likes of Shannon Rangers, the Kearns and Weasel down through the years, you know, you're trying to get your best players from every club to buy into it.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that's hindering the district sides at the moment is the club championship are getting very strong.
Yeah.
Are very strong. And I do agree with John, and we spoke about it, is that the finals should have been played and got out of the way, which gives the managers...
Give over.
The managers would have a chance.
It's not going to happen.
Because you don't know, is he going to come? Is he going to come? And when he comes, is he interested? Or is he, you know, one eye on something else? And to be honest, I would have a lot of... I think a lot of players would have one eye on something else. Let's call a spade. I don't know, they'll go out and they'll... But at the end of the day, they have a big county final ahead in a couple of weeks' time.
Let's go to the other game, the group. I mean, it kept the group alive, I suppose. It was always alive anyway. But will Cian Murphy have scored a more crucial goal in his whole life, first of all, than that goal he scored yesterday, Liam?
I don't think so, no. It was a feisty kind of a game, wasn't it?
It was a real club, wasn't it?
And to be honest, the change of the game really was the black card to being Hanifin.
Yeah.
You know, because Spa went
well
down...
Well spotted by the linesman.
Yeah, Spa kicked 1-2. To rally his point.
Yeah.
No, so it probably was the winning of the game. But look, Spa, Tom Hoare, Jack Savage is back. Mm-hmm. No, they're probably looking at another big game that they have coming in a couple of weeks' time as well.
But this was a big game for them. I mean, like, it was level at halftime. They pushed clear 9-6.
Yeah.
Rally should have walked that
game. They should have pushed on, yeah. When they had that, they didn't have the kick to drive them on. No, and
like the goal,
John, I suppose the injury then as well was like if you could have had Barry John and Jack Savage on the team at the same time, but Jack came on for Barry.
Dennis, I don't know, wouldn't know who to mark at that
situation. I'd keep abandoning both of them.
Dan, I don't know who wore two jerseys during the game, actually.
But Dan's a warrior.
Himself and Jack Savage. I mean, that was box office, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Dan is a warrior. We've seen it here for even when he was with East Kerry. He was the main linchpin centre-back for East Kerry. You know, and he's a guy that, obviously, he was cornerback for Kerry for a league until he picked up a bad injury, and he was doing very well. But I think he's one we are really going to look at this year or next year for Jack, because last week I was amazed. He was in the middle of the field. He went up and he kicked 3 points. He was the same here the last day. He did the marking job the marking job the weekend, and like I said, he nearly had one hand in each jersey. But that's what you need.
Yeah.
You know, you need fellas like that in your team.
But we said last week as well, even in defeat, Spa never give up. They stayed going at it right to the very end, you know.
Yeah.
Even their management team, they were driving him on. There was that will to win. And, you know, it didn't surprise me that they beat the Rahalis, because in a tight game, they're battlers. And, like, you know, so many people said today about Michael Stam Dunhu, used all his experience.
Yeah.
You know, he knows when to slow down. He rarely gives the ball away. And like Dan Dunhu's Liam said, certainly a guy to be looked at. Shane Cronin as well.
Shane Cronin was a good centre-back.
Shane Cronin.
Shane Cronin has been consistently good at centre-back, hasn't he? And he has that whole driving ability and drive through. I mean, he drove through for the goal as well, I'm nearly sure. Did he pass it to Darren Wine, his brother, and the ball went back. Cian Murphy, bang, goal. Crucial goal, obviously. And but their ability to push on from there, you know, I mean, it's amazing what can kickstart you. Now, obviously, they head to... Or Shannon Rangers head to Spa, don't they?
Yep.
Will he carry a big bus or a minibus, or will he travel in small cars?
But, like, the good thing about that, Donald, is that, you know, Shannon Rangers are going to Killarney.
Yes.
You know, and a win, you could be in the mix. Isn't that what championship is about, like?
The fact that they're in the mix will concentrate. Last year they weren't in the mix, St. Cairns were the same, and obviously we kind of left at the start of the show. But, I mean, they're in the mix. I mean, they could come, and there's nothing to suggest, you know, the fact that they ran mid-Kerry so close, in a sense, competitively in football, maybe not on the scoreboard, that they could give Spa.
Well, they could, yeah. And on the other hand, Spa will be saying, if we win this...
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's going to be... Isn't it great? It's mouth-watering stuff.
That's what you want for the championship.
That's what you want.
Yes. Yeah.
Meet Kerry and Rahilly's. Is there a revenge in Rahilly's mind, or do they even look at the history books?
Well, to see, that's...
Sure, John O'Connell should have remembered, wouldn't he?
That'll be... Rahilly's will have to play like they played against...
It's not beyond them.
It's not beyond them, no. But they probably will have to get a lot more out of their players than what they did this weekend.
Yeah.
No, to beat Meath Kerry. Meath Kerry to us... You know, up to everyone, probably would be the second best district side out there at the moment, you know, player-wise. And it's a big ask for him. It is a big ask for him. And I know you're smiling there because you think I was going to say St. Kieran's.
St. Kieran's a district. You have a couple of districts. You have a few North Kerry clubs and you have a bit of East Kerry.
But Meath Kerry, if Meath Kerry click... They're a team to be watched.
They have the most potential,
the most potential, yeah.
Now, a team that was not on your radar at the start, and I'm nearly sure that we asked you which team wouldn't get out of the group, and I'm nearly sure Liam Braston said, Nagail are going nowhere.
The game I said I was going to be going to.
10-9, Nagail beat Crokes. I mean, that has to be not only the shock of this championship, but the shock of a lot of championships.
It was, and deservingly so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what disappointed me really was the disjointment of the Crokes, really. You know, they were kind of... if Crokes... I was expecting a Crokes team that played against the Dingle the week before. You know, they gave Dingle enough for a lot of that game, but they were a different Crokes team.
Yeah. Completely. John, do we be a bit difficult on teams like Crokes and Stax that we, in our own heads, they're big teams? We don't give them
time... Are we looking at the history?
We look at the history. We don't give them time to transition. We don't give them time to say, well, look, there are two young fellas playing in this line that they didn't have last year and they have a couple of injuries and they're missing a couple of players. Does that count? Or you're in the county championship, you should do better?
It counts, Donald, to be fair. Like, they have a lot of players, they're in transition, there's no question. But we always think that they have that conveyor belt coming through. But I think that rather than talking about Dr. Crokes, it's talking about Nagail.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I was certainly one anyway that felt they'll be looking at the relegation game with Rahilly's. They won't be bothered about the county championship,
mm-hmm.
but they had a different idea.
Sure, they might win it now and relegate them.
And I think the big plus for this is their county men are leading by example. Dermot O'Connor and Jack Barry, they're outstanding, and Stephen. They're leaders. They're absolutely flying, and they won that game the last day. It was a real nip and tuck, and they won it by point.
And a player that really impressed me as well, Tomás O'Hanifín. He played a very good game last day. Yeah.
And yet, I would say to both of you, they only won it because of their backs yet again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just to put it in context, Crokes kicked 13 wides.
Yeah.
I mean, that whatever about their shooting, I mean, they were put under that pressure by backs and by defences. And of course, Stephen is kind of floating in between the full-back line and the half-back line, getting a lot of ball. And it was interesting to see Liam himself and Tony Brosnan in kind of a man-to-man, even though there was a bit more zonal than man-to-man, but it was still very interesting.
It was very interesting, yeah, and Tony kind of snatched at a couple of balls.
Great to see him back, Tony.
Great to see him back, yeah, because, look, Tony's a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, look, even the Crokes boys, even though a lot of the kicks that he kicked, you'll be kind of saying he shouldn't kick him, but this is Tony Brosnan. On other days, they could go over. He didn't have the shooting boots.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It was like David Clifford and all in the final. Some days they go over through, more days they don't. But that's, and I agree with John, that's credit to Nagail, the pressure that they put on him. They had a kind of a defensive structure, and they closed the Crokes had the ball probably for 90% of the time in the second half, but they just could not get it inside the 45-yard line for him.
I suppose the other thing, Liam, home venue.
It counts for a lot.
Burke is another guy.
Yeah, Damien Burke played very well.
He's been very impressive in defence.
And Jack Doyle defence.
But they were at home, and fair play to them. Look, they're in the next phase.
Yeah, a team who were at home, of course, St. Brendan's Board versus Dingle, that was an awful tough ask in any day of the year, I'd imagine. Dingle won comfortably. I mean, they lined up without Paul Ganey, Barry Dan, obviously, I suppose, with injury, no Mark O'Connor. They didn't need them, really, did they?
I suppose we talk about St. Brendan's at the start. We were all at great hopes and everything. They probably are the most disappointing of the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Because They never got going. They were they only kicked 5 points in the first game and 5 points in this game.
10 scores.
They're just
games,
yeah. So disjointed. You know, it's and you know, you'd feel sorry for the management, because I know the management can do so much, but when they crossed the white line, it just didn't click at all for them. But you got to hand it to Dingle. They went out so professional again. You know, kicking their scores. They were always a danger up front. Had their defence, you know, sorted. So yeah, but Brendan's were a big disappointment, all right, this year.
Yeah. And their reward is to go to Dr. Crokes,
yeah.
Again, the Dr. Crokes will want to win, obviously.
Oh, they will, yeah, but it's like a challenge match, really, isn't it?
Yeah. But this is like a challenge match, much like we'll say South Kerry and West Kerry coming to the end. There'll be players on that Crokes team that there's probably question marks about them in different positions. This is a chance to put a win on the board, get ready for next year. I mean, you don't want to sign off without a win, do you?
No, Crokes will definitely have their team. Mm-hmm. No, it'll be to see what Brendan will bring will be the million-dollar question. Our players just going to throw their hats at it and say, I'm not going, which could happen very easily on districts, any district board. So you'd hope it wouldn't. But like when you were after taking two bad beatings like that, mm-hmm. Very hard to get fellas to jump on board.
Yeah.
Do you know, in fairness, being at the game the last night, you know, the conditions we spoke about, yeah. It, Liam, do you know, they were in the game. It was really a kind of a shadow boxing for a bit. But I thought the black card had a huge influence in the game. I thought the sending off had a huge influence in the game, Brendan Barrett. And the experience that Dingle have, you spoke about it, Liam. They're winning games now that they mightn't have won a few years ago. But their strength and depth is unbelievable. Like, yeah. You know, the gain is that Conor Sullivan, Niall Gainey, the last day. You know, they have, and Dara Sullivan, you know, he dominated around the middle of the park. Missing the guys they're missing.
Yeah.
Certainly, they're looking very good. In bad conditions, in a real tough championship encounter. Yeah. That was, you know, it was on the edge by both teams, and they came out on top. But, you know, Clive Callan and the lads will be very disappointed, because they have nothing to show for a lot of endeavour. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll be going to play the Crokes, both teams, but they'll be looking to say, yeah, we're better than this.
Mm-hmm.
And they are.
They need a performance, don't they? I mean, result for them possibly not.
It's important for next year.
Yeah,
because if you go and you get three bad beatings, it's going to be very hard to go around the town here next year to ask players to come into St. Brendan's. Because if they're playing if for instance next year Stax could be in the intermediate final, or could be, it'll be very hard to pull them boys in to St. Brendan's team then. So you need to kind of have some light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, barring a miracle, they'll have one new team joining them anyway, won't they?
Yeah, well, another town team.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
No, so
this time next year, we're talking about them as county champions, maybe. A couple of comments coming in. Before we get to the comments, a quick word. Dingle Nagail, does it really matter who wins it? Is this a game Dingle can rest, can bring players on?
They have rested some fellas already, and I'd say they might rest a few more, you know, because they've had a long run, mm-hmm. including the club championship. So and the way Nagail are going, I'd say they'll be playing that team.
The only thing about it, like, you'd want to win the group, because you don't want to be drawing East Kerry in a quarter final either.
You're scared of East Kerry, aren't you?
That's the way you'd be looking at this. Yeah, it's not Army Kerry. Then you wouldn't want to be drawing any of them in a quarter final. You'd rather meet them in a semi final rather than a quarter final.
Well, you'll have to beat whenever you meet them.
But I'd say both teams, we look at it, is that they'll have a break for 2 weeks after this.
Yeah.
They'll have a go.
Yes.
And winner takes all then.
Provided you don't have too much of a go and get a sending off, too much of a go and getting somebody injured. A couple of comments, Donald. Dr. Crokes not making in the knockout stages is something new for them. When was the last time did he not make the knockout stages? God, you're certainly asking the wrong man there anyway. It does not seem to be that long ago that people were saying that there was no team that could match them. They are now in the same danger as Austin Stax. Well, I don't know if they're slipping down that, but I suppose, to be fair, Crokes last year, they lost the quarterfinal to Dingle. They got a bit of a telling in that, didn't they? They didn't make it this year. Stax won the quarterfinals last year, not even the championship this year. So maybe we'll see, listener. Donald, does the panel feel that Dan O'Donoghue should get a chance with Kerry? Another chance with Kerry, even. In the last 2 weekends, he was really good. He stood out for Spa again yesterday, far more than some other county players. Oh, there we go. That's really telling us. I think we've been beating the Dan O'Donoghue drum fairly handily. Donald, my query for the panel. There we go, lads. A question. Is why has the county board changed the format of the league stages of the championship? Not just the county championship but the club championship as well, where before the two losers from round one played each other and the two winners played each other, so that the final round the group three teams who could qualify. At the moment, at least two groups have two teams already knocked out and are dead rubbers. Thoughts are with West Kerry, having travelled to Carrigaveen for a nutting match on Sunday. Oh, no, Scott, listener. My God almighty. Paddy O'Shea wouldn't have agreed with you, a nutting match travelling all the way down to Carrigaveen. I suppose nothing in the sense that you're not going to get out of it, but I mean, from the player's perspective, I mean, you know, it's a game, it's a county championship game, it, you know, I mean, somebody has to win it. That's our thing. And another Dingle caller, God, we're always Kerry tonight, Liam, fair play to you, you've certainly got us a good few callers. did you watch that game, did you, Liam? Dingle caller says he wants to congratulate everyone in this bowl on a fantastically ran match on the weekend. Plenty of parking and a warm welcome. Pity the weather didn't follow the script. I would like to say I think they should get more big games out there. Yeah, absolutely. That kind of goes along with the SD and the Nagales and of the whole lot. And as John said, it means an awful lot to a club. And Donald, the last comment before we take a break. Changes needed. Losers of the first round should be at home in the second round. How many dead rubbers now in next week? Plenty. I don't know if there's plenty. I mean, okay, South Kerry and West Kerry play each other. That's fair enough. I suppose Crokes and St Brendan's, that's probably two. Is there another one? Well, no, the Shannon Rangers game is all like alive. And the other group is well alive, yeah, as well. Because
two games,
yeah.
So, and no matter what way you do, we'll probably have that.
Probably have that, exactly. Yeah.
So we'll have to revise the plenty to 50%, huh? I wonder who wrote that, huh? Good stuff. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're racing towards 7 o'clock and we have a couple more comments coming in, and we're going to change it, I suppose. It's technically county championship and we're chatting about it and we're having loads of comments. You're going to love this one, Liam. I'll give this one to you, Liam. I'm going to give John the harder one after. Any club without a stand should not be considered for a championship venue. Don't answer, I've way worse coming up. There were games played this year without any lines or squares marked, and three sideline flags at one side and four at the other side. Not good enough when the referee has to pace out where the 45 is.
Well, yeah, that's for a county championship, for a big competition. At least I'd expect the pitch to be marked properly.
Yeah.
And dugouts done. I think whatever about the supporters, I think the subs and the stuff like that, they should have the dugouts. I think dugouts, but the majority of facilities in Kerry now are top class. No, one or two, all right, might be a short something, but as time goes on, they'll be getting better and better. But yeah, I would agree with your caller. I think when you're playing a competition like that, the least you need is your proper pitch lined out. No, and I think dugouts, I'd rather have dugouts than a stand.
You'd prefer to be in the dugout than the stand?
I'd rather for the teams. They're the crowds.
What about the fella who pays the €10 in to watch?
They're the people that we were coming in to watch.
Yeah.
No, so, and there's nothing worse, actually, if you're a sub and you're wet and you're cold,
yeah,
and you're trying to warm up.
Your point is the player should be respected first. He needs to get that, of course, absolutely. Donald, I watched a lot of games on Clover over the weekend. Must be now watching you, John, fair play. Could you ask the panel, why is it so hard for teams to wear the correct attire? Now here we're going, real county board stuff. Odd socks, odd shorts, really, is this good enough for this level, John?
Yeah, it's not really, Donald, being honest with you, but, you know, some teams they have impeccable gear, to be fair. They have tracksuits and they have all the training gear.
Is it hard enough to get the correct pair of shorts?
But I'll tell you, when you go to a game, and you see it, Liam and myself, we'd be there early. You look at the warm-up. You look at the attitude of the management and of the players.
Professional
setup. And invariably, the teams that have all the small things right, you know, they're prepared well. And I know it's money, it's an issue, and, you know, it's hard enough to keep going. But I think, look, a togs and a socks, not a big deal to have them all the same. Now, I played in teams, and you did, Liam, that no matter what togs or socks you give a guy, he'd wear his own anywhere, he'd wear a different socks, and some guys do that. But I think it's for the, you know, for the people up in the stand, you're looking down and you see a team, they come out with their training gear, they come out with their togs and socks properly done. I think it shows.
It shows a bit of respect.
It does, a bit of organisation.
Yeah. Another quick one. Was the Nagale defeat of Dr. Crokes one of the biggest shocks ever in the county championship?
Was it the
biggest shock ever. It'd be one of them, anyway.
It was, yeah.
In
yeah.
recent times, it probably
would have been. Recent times, it would have been, yeah.
Let me remember that one, so. Yeah. Doing a lot of talk about the Crokes defeat. Oh, my God, here we go. But the team that beat them have three Kerry senior players.
Good point.
Including two that played in last good year's All-Ireland. It really is a good point.
And that goes back to our point as well. And we might have said it not just tonight, but before. Timpano are the same.
Yep.
Now, if you think back to John Kennedy's time when was it Bale,
right.
when yep. the Bomber and Ogie, you need your county players to take you. And that's where you look at. That's when you look into the eyes of a county player, and you know he's a county player when he can pull a team along.
Talking about teams, Garvey's have launched the team of the century. This century, myself and my producer were chatting about it earlier. And of course, you can go to the Garvey shop and you can pull it out in the whole lot. So many great players on that list, and we'll be putting that up on Twitter and Facebook and all that and the whole lot. How easy a job is it, John Kennedy? Not your job, obviously. To pick the best 15.
It's an incredible, like, you know, we've said it before, like, the amount of players, the class, the talent. I mean, for every position, you could pick five or six players. But, like, I wouldn't envy the job. There'd be great players left out. But any time you pick any team in any sport, you're leaving out good players anyway. Mm-hmm. But I think the selectors have a tough job ahead.
And, Liam, picking over time, I mean, we're talking about 2002 and 2008 and 2012 and the East Kerry team of now. Is it something that's manageable?
It is manageable. Yeah, definitely is manageable. But when I saw it first, briefly today, I saw it for a few minutes. You know, I was thinking of the players, and I think it'll be dominated by Crokes and South Kerry. And deservingly so, because they have won the majority of the titles in that time. So it'll be interesting. And like John said, I wouldn't like to be the chef. But it's a county championship team, not a Kerry team that's been picked. No, it's like our team of the championship,
yes,
here.
Very important.
We get a lot of old stick from it as well. Yeah. But yeah, it's exactly, not a Kerry team we're picking.
No, and usually, at times, county players don't really stand out in the county championship. It's the club players, the average player.
Exactly.
It's that guy. And that's what we're shining light on that. Yeah, super. And I'm going to change topic just for a couple of moments. Now, of course, I suppose Reddy, co-driver, tragically died yesterday during a motor racing event in County Clare. Of course, that was Damien Fleming, who's a native of Kilcommon, of course, just down the road from me. And you might remember the name, of course, because he was a real talent in the sport. And he won the Kerry Winter Rally back in 2015, of course. All our thoughts on this show and with Radio Kerry and prayers, of course, with Damien's parents, Dermot and Catherine, and I suppose his brothers, Mark and Brendan as well, and the wider Kilcommon community, and indeed motorsport family, I suppose, as well, in an awful time. And joined now by Sean Moriarty, of course, local sports, motorsport journalist, I suppose he does it all, who knew Damien. Motorsport must be in shock.
Yeah, it's a shocking couple of days for the sport, and everybody in the county and in the country is coming to terms with what happened yesterday. Damien will be missed. He was a very accomplished co-driver. The panel here are talking about the county football championship, but Damien actually won the first ever county rally championship. Kerry's the only county in the country that has a county championship, and like any sport, you want to win your county championship, and he's the first name on that particular trophy, so he'll be forever remembered for that. But he also won the Kerry Winter Rally, locally known as the Banner Rally. That's fantastic to have that kind of accolades to your name in locally, but he was known the country over as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, it's a small community, motorsport, I suppose, nationally, particularly in Kerry as well. But he had over 150 or 160 rallies. I mean, he was competing for a long time.
He was competing since 2006. He worked that out, like, it's probably 10-15 events a year. He came up through the ranks very quickly. He was talking to some of his drivers today now, just kind of get a feel for the man, a mark for the man, and he was very dedicated to the job as a co-driver. The modern co-drivers tend to do an awful lot of pre-event DVD work, an awful lot of work on the pace notes ahead of the events, and all the drivers I spoke to today said that he was absolutely dedicated to that side of the job, and that is the mark of a modern era rally core driver, that you have to be doing this background work. He was very good at that. That's why he was respected. When you're respected, you become sought after, and a sought after navigator could get calls for any corner of the country. And he competed actually quite a lot in the Northern Irish Rally Championship, which is unusual for someone down here. But he was respected in that side of the country as well, and he was highly respected in County Kerry and throughout the country. Really. Yeah.
Sad loss, no doubt, obviously, for everybody. But I suppose in the weeks and months to come, you know, people will kind of maybe ask questions and all that. That it's a sport that kind of draws headlines maybe in that sense. But on the other side of it yesterday, I mean, there was emergency services, there was the air ambulance, the amount of work that kicks in and...
The rally people that were there, like from the emergency services to the medical staff, even a couple of competitors that were on the scene, they were very good. They did what they could. They you know, it's very hard to go into the speculation and circumstances of what may or may not have happened, but there's a lot of praise for the people that were on the scene. The sport is in mourning today. It's a very hard time to... It's a bit fresh, I suppose, to talk about the details of it, yeah. But it's... we have to really remember Damien Fleming for the contribution he made to the sport in the county, and it's going to be a difficult couple of days as we begin to say farewell to one of the county's top quarters.
And we will remember, I suppose, in our thoughts and prayers this evening, Dermot and Catherine as well. And I suppose over the next couple of days, it's going to be difficult. But there's a good community in Kilcommon, and I suppose that's important. And there's a good community in Kerry Motorsport as well.
Yeah, well, you have the two clubs in the county, Kerry Motor Club, and he was a member of Killarney and District Motor Club, and they'll rally together. They'll work together. They'll help people out that might need a bit of assistance and these things. They will work together to make sure that the events over the next couple of days will go as smoothly as possible for the family. People that were involved in the sport will they're hurting, but they will be very supportive, and it's a very tight knit and very close knit community. And you know, by the messages and phone calls that we've all been getting over the last couple of days, that everybody's very supportive, and we will see that continuing for the remainder of the week. And yeah, the thoughts go out to the family, of course. It's very difficult, and the thoughts go to the wider membership of Killarney District Motor Club. He was a popular member of the club, and I was talking to the club chairman, Thomas Randall, today, and Thomas's words were that he was a sought after core driver. He was highly respected, not just in this part of the world, highly respected up and down the country.
High praise indeed. And that, of course, is Damien Fleming, RIP. Listen, Sean, thanks very much. I know it's very difficult to talk about it. Obviously, you I suppose you look after all the motorsports news around the kingdom and across the country as well. Thanks for joining. It's very difficult. Liam, I suppose, I don't know how would you change the subject from there. I suppose tragedy, it's difficult to deal with. And it's just one of those tough times in sport, isn't it?
It is, Donal. I suppose what it really shows is that we're sitting around the table here, that sport is sport. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not. When things happen like that, it is very sad. But the one thing we see in the football community, when things happen like that, they do rally around, and no different to Sean next door here to me. The rally crowd will get around the family, not only for this weekend, but for the months and the years ahead. Damien won't be forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. Good words. Our favourite sport is back on, Liam. Not John Kennedy's. He wouldn't have a clue what they're doing inside the hall with two hoops.
The basketball
is back.
I can't all for winter. All the old Kerry supporters are going, oh no! Because they're always saying that football is a game of basketball now.
Absolutely. Yeah, basketball is a lot to answer for. Come up after the break, of course, we're joined by two Tralee Warriors who've returned home, I suppose, from America, and it'll be great to catch up with them as well. And we're going to talk to a man who was over in France, who's back after the South African game, of course. And just about 7:30 this evening, we'll catch in with the St. Paul. For now, we'll go to news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, of course, you heard before the break myself and Liam talking about our favourite sport, and of course our favourite sport, believe it or not, is basketball. And it's great to have it back, and of course all the clubs are getting back into National League action and Super League action this weekend coming. And I suppose if you support your local club, get out, buy a ticket, certainly go to the games. And I'd like to be joined now by Garvey's Tralee Warriors players, Ryan Leonard and Raps Bevidas. Say it very quickly, it doesn't sound so bad. And they're returning to the fold, of course, after, I suppose, in many ways an incredible journey that took from Tralee, first of all, and you've done a bit of travelling. Ryan, I said to you, I asked you before off air, how long were you gone out of Tralee? You're certainly a new man coming back, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a while now. It's been about 6 years, so it's good to be back and good to be around again.
Yeah. it's an incredible enough journey to think that, you know, we get a lot of Americans from America to come back. But to start in Tralee, obviously the American heritage and the whole lot, and you had basketball and you could only play basketball. But to go from here to there and back, I mean, what's the reverse journey like?
It's very, very different. You know, going from here over there, it's a whole different world over there. And I bounced around a couple of different places. Like I was in New Jersey, Florida, Illinois, and Texas. And then coming back again, when you get so used to it over there, is again a big change. It's, you know, a lot quieter here now, and like people that I grew up with maybe have moved away and things like that. But again, like I said, it's very good to be back. It's good to be back home, and it's great to be back playing with Warriors again.
Yeah, and of course they're all players that you know, that you've either played with at the very start of the journey, and if you didn't know them, I mean, it's easy to fall back in with them. And a lot of the younger fellas have grown up as well. Obviously, you return home and you say, "Wow, really, you've got 6 inches on you now." All of a sudden, what's it like to see all those players? Is there an excitement there?
Absolutely. Like you said, it's we have a big Tralee group that we have this year, and again, most of the guys, I think, maybe apart from some of the younger ones that are coming into the mix, that, you know, I played with before, you know, Quiggs, Darrow Hanlon, all these different guys. Keen Sullivan's back, played with him before as well. So again, like I said, we have a good group of Tralee guys there. It's a, you know, good sense of community, and we're very proud to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a real Tralee. I mean, and a lot of players coming through the journey, all Tralee home based as well. Our next man, home based as well, even though people will say, really? You've been playing forever and ever, but you had the same journey as well, Raps. I mean, you went through the same Brendan's Academy, you went through Tralee CBS, you've done all that stuff.
Yeah.
You went through all the national ticks as well. And then all of a sudden you decide, I'll chance America.
Yeah, I gave it a shot there for, 3 years now? Went over to the Hill School first. It was a prep school in Pennsylvania. Then tried my luck in Division II basketball in Worcester, Massachusetts. It was good, yeah. Great experience. Learned a lot about myself.
What's it like? I mean, it's different for you because Ryan obviously would have the American connections, or maybe there was somebody looking after you somewhere along the way. But I mean, for Raps, you had to take your 6'3" or 4" at the time and travel away. Was that a daunting journey for you?
Yeah, of course it was. You know, it's like at that time you think, you know, the world about everything. Like, but when I look back at it now, I'm only 21, but I was 17, 18 leaving. And yeah, it was a big change. I mean, a lot of different stuff, like culture is different, schooling is different, food is different. You miss the home cooking, especially, like, so, yeah. No, it's good. It's good to be back.
And is there parts of that journey then that you say, God, I miss the food, I miss my friends, I miss the whole lot? Is there a little bit of a yearning at times to say, God, I might just hop on the plane and head back to Tralee, or do you just stick it out?
No, you just stick it out, I think. I think everybody has those thoughts, whoever goes over to America for sports, but you really know what you want at the end, so you still stick it out. You just don't come home. Like.
And of course, much like Ryan, you're returning. I mean, all the names you know. I mean, obviously, you keep in contact with the whole lot. I mean, you were part of the Warriors jersey and journey as well at the start. Do you look at a distance and when you're playing in America and you're checking the results, are you saying, God, they really lost by 8 points to those crowd? I mean, God, could I have helped out? Is there an excitement to get back and get involved?
Oh, a huge excitement. Like, especially last year, we saw you didn't do too well. You really wish you could help. You nearly screaming at the screen, do this, do that. And it's just exciting to be back. I mean, like you said, we have a Tralee team coming back. Ryan, Keane, Skinny, Quiggs.
Yeah.
We only have two imports, so it's all community based, which we love. And it's going to be such a fun year. I can't wait.
Yeah. And of course, to be fair to Tralee, I mean, homegrown players is what you need at this level. Obviously, you bring in your imports and they will help, and they'll, I suppose, maybe weaker clubs, they will, I suppose, help develop other players and coaching, the whole lot. But you really need, Ryan, to develop your players. And in that vein, I mean, we were joking about it off air, of course, Tralee CBS being the best basketball school in Tralee. I said that out loud. But the fact that the schools play such a vital role in Tralee, that obviously helps the clubs. I mean, obviously, you have... They were Imperials, now they're Magic. That changed while you were away as well, guys.
Yeah.
St. Brendan's are still St. Brendan's.
But
I mean, you need all that cohort working to produce Warriors.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I kind of said, we have some young guys still coming through. You know, some guys that went to the Green in Mount Hawk. We have Olaf, Josh, and you know, Eddie just finished school in Mount Hawk as well, and they're all playing for us. So it's very important to have... the young guys coming through, because again, it just keeps it going, and it can, you know, you can sustain your success.
Raps, when you arrive back, you bring loads of ideas and say, God, we should do this because this is what I learned over there, and we should do this because I learned that over there, and I can't believe we're still doing that because we're not doing that over there. Do you come home with all those ideas and
what happens? Yeah, you do honestly do, but at the end of the day, you have to listen to the coach, do what he says to do. You got to trust him.
You're not saying you're listening to my ideas that I'm bringing home from America, yeah, and bringing loads of ideas.
As much as I love to, we all love to pitch in our ideas, but you just got to trust one system. And we're doing this year now. Hopefully it'll be paid off for, like, yeah, at the end of it with two trophies. So.
But of course, that experience, I mean, that counts, that's in the bank. I mean, how many games would you have played in a season over reps? I mean,
probably around over 20 games, yeah, 23,
yeah,
24,
yeah. You'd almost get to 30 sometimes.
Would,
yeah,
you? Yeah. And what are those games like, Ryan? I mean, we look at college basketball on TV, yeah, some of us that stay up very late and have not much else to do, yeah, obviously. Yeah, yeah. It's competitive, and I mean, it's players of equal quality, and there's few enough weaknesses in it. I mean, I presume you learn a rake, do you?
Yeah, no, you know, I played at all levels, you know, like at rap, I went to prep school, went to junior college, played at Division 1 for a little bit and Division 2, so I got a whole host of, you know, experiences over there, and the competition is obviously, it's unmatched, to be honest.
Is it a different game over there?
Yes, 100%. It's like, with the guys over there, like, way more athletic, faster paced. You know, we kind of have that joke about in the European style, where we kind of play more team basketball, and over there it's a bit more individual. But at the same time, the individual talent and skill level they have over there is crazy. So, and, you know, again, like it is, you do get, you know, great experience, and you can bring that back, and you hope to kind of just, you know, pass it on in whatever way you can, you know.
Dad's still lecturing you, sir?
Yeah, he does a little bit every now and then.
Yeah, but of course, to be fair to him, I mean, like, in many ways, he's part of that journey at the very, very beginning. I mean, he arrived over here, he made Tralee his home. I mean, I don't know, did anybody tell him that he could go home? Or did one that he could spare us?
I don't know, I think you treated him too well.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's been part of it, and I mean, we've had him on, he's obviously trained the under-20s as well, and gets back involved. But is there more pressure on you than being the son of somebody who has played it, as opposed to Raps, who... Did your parents play basketball before I asked the question?
No, not really, no.
Yeah.
No.
So you went home one day and you said to parents, I love basketball.
Yeah, sure. Lithuania has a huge history about basketball, so that's where that comes from. We're mad for basketball, sure.
Yeah. So they were all... But Ryan, we will go back to the question that I almost invited. Is there more pressure, or is there no pressure, or do you listen?
Yeah, I mean, you have everybody kind of, you know, since my dad was such a good basketball player, they kind of almost expect you to, you know, be of the same standard and everything like that. But, you know, I've tried over the years to kind of take it in my stride and not really think about it too much, and kind of just, you know, become my own player, I guess, yeah, you could say.
And you have to come out from under the shadow. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're not the same player. You're a, yeah, different player. Equally as good, maybe better, God, yeah, knows if he's listening. Raps, I mean, you're back now. You've seen the teams. You've been around this circle as well, maybe not as many games. Do you look at it and say, this could be a good Warriors year, this needs to be a good Warriors year, or do you look at the scrimmage and say, God, yeah, you know, we've enough guys here to do something good?
I look at the squad and I think it is going to be a great year for us, so we just have to execute what we're supposed to do, and then hopefully have two trophies by the end of it.
Ryan will bring the two trophies in if you get them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah, but we have to have the two, like.
Have to.
Pressure. Otherwise, I'll have your father sitting. Listen, guys, the very best of luck. Thanks. We said we'd let you off the training, which is very important, obviously. 7:30, tip-off.
Saturday, yeah.
Sweet
Saturday,
thing.
Yeah. Moy Cullen.
Oh.
So from Galway. Be a tough one.
Plenty shoulders and a bit of real tough stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, there'll be none of this college nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's grown men stuff now.
Yeah, bruiser.
Absolutely. All teamwork and great defence as well. Listen, yeah, guys, thanks very much. The very best look in the year ahead. I certainly will be down there. I always get to these two or three Garvey's games, but yeah, I have to share the time with St. Paul's, yeah, on the other side as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
And I go back to Clorgan, obviously, as well. I have to mention them all now at this stage. But it's great. It's great to have basketball in Kerry. It's great that we have teams that are, I suppose, competing at the highest level, particularly in the Super League. And I suppose you've tasted success before, and I suppose once you get a sense of it, you want more of it, and you want, yeah, another bit, and you want to win it on your own terms, and you want to win yourselves. So listen, the very best of luck, and thanks for joining us this evening. We'll take a commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now you're listening to Donal Barry here on Terrace Talk, and of course the very best look to Ryan and Raps, and they're heading out the door to training, and as they're heading out the door to training, another man is just barely crawling in the door. Delighted to be joined by Mike Milner, and of course Mike was on last week. He headed over to Parc des Princes, of course, to witness Ireland's, I suppose, impressive performance and the win over South Africa. And while the rest of us, Mike, were shouting and roaring at the television, and God knows nobody could hear us, they probably heard you, did they?
Oh jeez, I barely have a voice, I'll be honest. It's gone. It was absolutely, absolutely incredible. It was one of the best games I've ever
had. Talk to us about the atmosphere before we get into the boring analytics of the game. I mean, we saw it on television. I mean, the whole place was in green. It was loud. There was music. There was songs. You know, it was really... What was it like there in person?
Well, they said there was 30,000 Irish fans. There was way more than 30,000, I can tell you that. It was up there with any All-Ireland final. You know, I put it up there with any All-Ireland final. It was just incredible. I got to my seat about 30 minutes before the match, and the place was absolutely buzzing. I just couldn't wait. Yeah. Couldn't wait. And I was saying to one of the lads, they're just going to be electric. And, you know, it was billed as one of the best games of the World Cup, and boy, did it live up to its billing. You know, the world number one team against the reigning champions and world number two. It was just a cracker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm drained from it. I'm absolutely this is like my fourth bottle of water today. I'm in bits.
More water.
I feel as if I was playing.
Yeah, get the producer to bring in a bucket for you now in a second. Things are going so well. Come here, Mike. The build up to it. Talk about the build up. I mean, obviously, you arrived at the game, the whole lot. But you're running into South African fans ahead of the game, and you're obviously having the crack and the banter and the whole lot. What was their feelings ahead of this match?
Oh, they felt that they were going to win it, in fairness to them. Look, and you know, they had every right to say
and
it.
And on paper,
absolutely.
Legitimately good cause to win it. Yeah,
they were. You know, in fairness to them now, like they have the players, and you know, we were expecting Rassie to throw in, you know, an all curveball, and there it was with the 7-1 split in that, and
he didn't shine his light on you or anything. No didn't get a yellow or a green or
no I didn't actually. I was looking out for I didn't see any. I don't know, did they show it on TV there?
Yeah, it was on TV.
I didn't see it, it was
very evident.
Yeah, one of my grievances at the match was that the replays didn't actually show, you know, some of the controversial stuff. You know, live.
Very J-like.
Exactly, yeah.
We won't show that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, look, we had great banter with the South African fans outside the stadium. Like, we arrived at the stadium maybe about 3 hours before the match, just for the fear that something might go wrong, a train might break down or something like that, because that did happen in Bordeaux with some Irish friends. They had to walk for over an hour to get to the stadium there because a train broke down, so we weren't taking any chances in that. But for any Irish fan that's going over there, because all of Ireland's matches and potential matches that are in a quarterfinal, whether it's the potential maybe against New Zealand or France, all our matches are going to be on in Stade de France from here on in, regardless of who we play. They'll all be there. And it's costly around the pitch. It's like €12 a pint now, €14 a pint when you're outside. It's a tenner inside a pint, or a tenner inside a stadium for a pint. But look, Just give lads fair warning.
You'd want a bit of pocket money.
You want your wallet, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I suppose you'd certainly find the wallet if you need it, which is important. Come here, the manner of victory. I mean, I was sitting at home, and God, I won't lie to you, after the first four or five lineouts, I thought, we're going to get hammered.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that feeling like in the stand when you saw, God, another one lost, and God, a third one lost, and now we must face a scrum?
Don't kick it to touch. Don't. Just keep the ball in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a massive worry. Look, they did have Jean Klein on the bench, a previous Munster player, played with Ireland, trained with Ireland on numerous occasions. He definitely had an insight. They also had one of the coaches, Felix Jones, as well, who's played with Munster, trained with Ireland, played with Ireland, and that. He had some insight as well, I'd say, in some of our lineups. Like, Paul O'Connell's going to be... He's going to be an angry man this week. Now, the players have a few days off. I think their families are over at the moment. They're going to Disneyland and that. They're back maybe Wednesday, Thursday, and they'll be in for a grilling with Paul, I'd say. You know,
Well, the video won't make great watching. I mean, obviously, as a fan, you get the result, but it was erring. But then you were playing champions.
Yeah, it's a bit. It's like one of the best locks in the world, you know. Like, he's going to steal one or two, but like, I think we had seven lineouts, and we only 1-2 at one stage, you know, like that was, and everything draws from our set piece, whether it's the scrum or the line out. Like, most of our tries come from either the scrum or the line out, you know, so, or open play, but it's mostly scrum and line out that our gameplay comes from.
Yeah.
So,
and yet with all that, we needed to be as strong as devils for defence to hold them out for as long as we did.
Some scramble, wasn't it?
Till we got on top. I mean, those opening moments where South Africa did come looking, I mean, the collisions, we saw it on television, obviously, and it was ferocious. Can you see that? Can you hear that? I mean, the oohs and ahs are electrified at some of the bills.
The one that I definitely heard, I was 60 metres away, so I was more or less behind the goals that South Africa were playing into in the first half. Mm-hmm. And Jesse Creel's, well, it was actually Bonnie Akeye's try-saving tackle against Jesse Creel. That connection, I it's still in my head. I'd be there for years after that sound. It was, yeah. But look, not like Bundy was man of the match. I think it's two or three matches now in a row. Yeah. He's immense.
Yeah, he's on for player of the tournament the way he's going. I mean, if Ireland do get to the gold and land, I mean, like I said, he's certainly building up the bounty points. Standout performances for Ireland?
Oh,
or was it a real team? I mean, obviously Bundy was probably a small bit ahead of the rest of them.
Van der Flyer and Doris were absolutely immense. Ringrose was brilliant in defence. We already mentioned Bundy, but Bundy and Damien Diolande, another previous Munster player, them going head to head and the clattering that both, they were like two bulls going out. It was just unreal. Ty Byrne, like the negative, like I thought Ty Byrne looked absolutely wrecked. Mm-hmm. Gibson Park, he had an off day. It was very unusual for him.
Mahoney looked good, didn't he?
Mahoney was unreal. The one thing with Gibson Park, I thought that his kicking, his box kicking was very poor. Barely
he
went 10 meters.
He didn't get great protection, though, did he?
No.
I mean, when you have
three block downs, I think.
Yeah, when you have a 6'8" joint coming around the corner, sometimes maybe offside as well. I mean, flying around at you, it's not that easy to get away. But
absolutely, and that's the breakdown for you. Like I was looking at the stats after the match, like usually our breakdown is under 3 seconds, and it was nearly 5 seconds with the breakdown. Now look, like they're monsters of men, and you know, like there's only so much you can do, no matter how big you are and no matter how fit you are, there's only so much you can do to hold them out.
And yet thank God they can kick.
Yeah, we had the rub of the green, didn't we? We really did. Like there was so much of the rub of the green there at the end. When you think about it, I was talking to a friend last night. We were discussing it. Like if you think about the Ty Byrne kick there at the end that went down between the pole, and then we made the tackle, turned over that ball, came along and passed the ball out to Crowley. Crowley then came along and went for a drop goal. The drop goal was blocked. South African player didn't see it being blocked
and
let it go.
Yeah.
We come along then and we get the scrum from that. From that scrum, they push early. Now, the ref already warned them on their previous scrum on the other side of the pitch.
I think
Mahoney
at that stage, Mahoney was buying the ref at that stage. Yeah. I mean, like he was obviously
so good with him.
And he had the
refs,
hand and the ball and the whole lot. And, you know, maybe that's the experience you need to finish off a game.
Absolutely. But from that, then we get the penalty. Yeah. And the penalty, then we move up. But you need players like O'Mahony. You need players. You're talking about about players that were doing well. Another player that didn't do well was oh my God, and his name now just gone out of my head. He was our lock there that was taken off there with Henderson coming on. He was doing all the call out, the line out call outs.
Ryan.
James Ryan, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. And
no
he couldn't, he very unusual for him to go off after 50 minutes in a game. Like, you know, he's usually our talisman, he stays on for the entire match.
Henderson, to be fair though, he always gives something when he comes on. I mean, he has a bit about him, you know, he's the experience now, obviously, as well. And I suppose it helps him that he knows he's only on for 25 minutes as well. He can get rolled up and sleeves at it. Got to the end, got the win. I mean, full time. I mean, the place breaks into song. I mean, the Cranberries it's amazing. What was that moment like in that time?
I was holding back tears at one stage. Well, it was just before Zombie came on, and then I nearly went over the line there. But just when the ref blew it up and all, we were just cheering, and then Zombie came on and just shivers down my spine. And there wasn't one Irish supporter that left.
Yeah.
Everybody stayed. And there's a lovely connection between the Irish team and the fans at the moment, because after every game, no matter if it's a win or a draw or a loss, the lads will stay and they'll come around to all the fans and the whole lot and you know, thank them for coming and that, you know, and it's a nice little touch by Andy Farrelly. Like, I don't know, do you remember, we're playing a tier two team there during the warm-up session in the summer. I think it was Samoa. Was it Samoa, yeah. And we had the game won and we kicked it out once we got the ball back. And Andy Farrell tore into the lads. He said, never, ever kick it out again. Those fans are after travelling and paying good money to come here to see you,
yeah,
and they deserved better than what you're giving them, yeah, you know, and that's what Andy, you know, is brilliant for things like that.
Farrell, to be fair to him, I mean, at the start when he arrived, there was a few eyebrows, I'd imagine, and you know, he's an Englishman, and God knows, it took a while to bed in, but I mean, he's on Jack Charlton status at the moment, isn't he?
He's unreal. But the things that he saw, I'd love to meet him and ask him one question. But he came along. One of the first things he did was he brought in Jameson Gibson-Park into the team, who was actually the Leinster number two at the time. Yeah. He wasn't even starting for Leinster. He saw something in him that nobody else did, and from then he devised a game plan around Gibson Park's play because he was so quick. And the one question I'd love to ask him is, did he ever consider sitting down with Joe Smith at the time when he was Joe Smith's number two?
That's right, yeah.
And talking to him and going, listen, this isn't working for us, this style at the moment. I have something here that we might be able to work with.
Yeah.
I'd love to know. But
did he hold back a bit?
Yeah. Oh, he definitely raised eyebrows when he brought in Gibson Park. Yeah. And I think his first game was against England or his second game, and we were beaten fairly heavily in that. And I was like, oh.
And the son playing.
Yeah. And now look,
yeah,
he's a shoe-in for the Lions tour. You know, Paul O'Connell have to take over, I suppose, but he's just...
It'll be amazing.
Want to lose him.
Come here, before we lose the runner ourselves, like typical Irish people, we have Scotland, of course.
We do.
Who could still win that group. Absolutely. Well, you know, we've been enough win over us, and South Africa praying for a victory as well.
Yeah, we've played four games, won four games, and we still haven't qualified, you know, it's still open play. Yeah. As for Scotland, yeah, so when it comes to World Cups, it's a bogey for us. It's tradition now at this stage for the last two World Cups where we come along and we beat, what was it, Australia, we beat France.
And then
we falter, you know, when it comes to... But I just don't think with this team, they're...
Will it suit Ireland now, the fact that the way the draw fell? I mean, we played two handy enough teams, I suppose, at the start. We got our tough game in. But we have a big break now before the Scottish game. I mean, God knows, if you did have a couple of bad shoulders or whatever, you get that extended time heading into the Scottish game.
I mentioned that last week. Because of the South Africa win now, you know, the lads can, you know, they're going to take a break, they're going to meet their family, they're going to, you know, going to switch off for a couple of days, they're going to come back, and then they're going to go into a review now with Paul O'Connell and the line-out and that, and they've got plenty of work to do, and you can guarantee you from here on in, whether it's Scotland, New Zealand, or wherever we're playing, that our line-out is going to be attacked, every single one, because that is, at the moment, considered to be our Achilles heel. But for Scotland, if Sexton has a knock, if Tadhg Furlong, like Finlay Beam came on there, and he was absolutely brilliant when he came on. He locked down that scrum, and you know, I would argue that he's putting pressure on Tadhg Furlong at this stage.
We were on the back foot at that stage.
Yeah, before absolutely. I think that Finlay Beam has a massive hand up now for the next game, that he should be getting more minutes than that. Especially, you know, if there's lads there that are carrying knocks that we don't see, you know, give them an extra week, or if they need to be brought on, you know, with 30 minutes to go, 40 minutes to go, if the game is still in the balance, so be it. But that's my input. I still think that Farrell will put out his same 15, and
he seems to have that loyalty, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, not even loyalty. Maybe he's looking for a momentum. Maybe he's looking. He's escaped serious enough injuries, to be fair. I mean, like,
we're haunted at the moment.
France have lost one of their best players, the Pont, unless they bandage his eye together or eye socket and the whole lot. And I suppose I suppose if you want to win something, they always say you need a bit of the rub of the green or a bit of luck. We seem to have got it the last season to get over it. A team with no look or look has ran out. Eddie Jones, Australia. Yeah. Are we sad? Are we nice fella, Eddie?
I didn't see it. I saw it. I'll be honest.
You were in transit.
No, I wasn't. No, I got home. I put the baba to bed and the whole lot. And I went straight to bed. I'll be honest now. I was absolutely knackered. Woke up the next morning, saw the thing on Twitter, and I was like, I couldn't believe the scoreline.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And there was a bit of controversy as well. 24 hours before that, there was breaking news about him being interviewed for the Japan job while after taking the Australian job. And that, you know, and I saw the interview then after the match then, and he was asked questions about it, and it, like, he didn't deny it. He just came along and said, I don't know what you're talking about, but and left it at that and wanted to move on. So
I suppose he was looking into the crystal ball, I'd say. Yeah, it was either absolutely. A go or a get canned.
Now, without getting ahead of ourselves in that, so like, if we were to beat Scotland, the winners of that would play, we'd be playing probably New Zealand yeah. But the winners of that then would end up playing Wales.
Yes, or Fiji.
In a semi, well, potentially,
Depending what happens there.
You know, the road is that bit.
Yeah, just on the New Zealand thing, and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Why are we taking New Zealand for granted? I mean, there was a time when I was this size and that size and this size and still this size.
Yeah.
God, New Zealand, like, I mean, we were looking beyond the same field. But now we're at a stage where, it is only New Zealand, to be worse if it was France. Where's that coming from?
Oh, well, look, how many times we played them, and then we played them maybe four times now, and beat them in Chicago, beat them twice in their own backyard, beat them twice in the Aviva.
Still New Zealand.
Yeah, it's still New Zealand, but they're just not the New Zealand of old, you know, with the Dan characters and that.
Yeah.
There's a sense of weakness from them, but in saying that, we were only discussing there again last night, because it's all, you know, over pints, you just get, you know, all these permutations and all that. Which would you prefer now? Would you prefer France without Dupont?
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to go and see their specialist. He might be allowed to wear a guard, but...
That's right. I'd imagine they're going to put a mask on him at some shape or size and stitch him and let him off.
Yeah, but this mask, you see, it's fine for him, but it needs to be safe as well for players to actually connect.
In case he takes the head off some other fellow.
Exactly, in a tackle that there's, you know, that it doesn't actually cause any injury to them. So they will have to get permission from World Rugby on that, which is another doubt. Mm-hmm. So look, there's so much going on there.
I'm sure as the host, they have plenty of big people working on that matter as we speak, which is fantastic. Listen, Mike, thanks very much. You can go back now and get more rest.
2 weeks now for Scotland. I need every minute of it before I go back over.
Yeah. And you are going back over. And what do you say, 17 or 15 euros for pints outside and a tenner inside?
It's 12 quid outside the stadium. And there's actually a bar there called the Temple Bar. And it actually put the prices of Temple Bar to shame. It's 14 euros a pint inside there. And it's a tenner for a pint inside. So lads, just bring your wallets and leave someone else get the round in before you go out to the stadium. That's my advice.
The rest get the last round, so you won't have to buy for everybody. Listen, Mike, thanks very much for joining us. Great crack, to be fair. And hopefully this is the start of a beautiful journey all the way to the end.
Fingers crossed.
We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, continuing our basketball team, of course, Utility Trust St. Paul's, new name for the St. Paul's Clanny Women team, of course, National League team, as they head into a new season. Of course, last season was a great season for them. They came so close, it was, to gaining promotion to the Super League, and it was their first year back as well. Delighted to have on the line now two men, I suppose. One man is kind of logistics and the side of it, that's Enda Walsh, the PRO, and James Fleming as well. Delighted to have both lads on the line. Enda, does it feel like the year has swung around really quickly?
Yeah, I sure come here. The summer flew. What bit of a summer we had.
We should have played the basketball during the summer, really, shouldn't we?
Well, there was a few days in July there. You could definitely have an indoor game, you know. But yeah, it's flown around. And you know, the great thing about basketball is you don't rely on the weather. It's all indoor. So I know now, yesterday there was a lot of bad weather for both men and women out playing football, but the beauty of the basketball is it can be pouring rain outside and it will be nice and warm inside.
Yeah. And of course, you're looking forward to the new season, of course, like every club at the moment. I presume you've all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and the whole lot, and it's just, you know, getting ready to get going. And I suppose you'll be writing previews and results and the whole lot. And to be fair, last year, St. Paul's women, I mean, they gave us a lot of great results.
They did. In fairness to James, he's an experienced coach in the league, and he put together his squad and knew what it took to compete, and they came very close, very unlucky in the final against Portlaoise Panthers. So I think for players, and not the James either, but for the players, definitely they saw what it was all about and they know what it takes. So I think the summer was spent kind of reflecting on that and trying to strengthen things where they could. And I think the two ladies that came in the last few weeks, they're very happy and they've knitted in nicely to the squad, so it's all guns blazing now for Sunday.
Mm-hmm. James, delighted to have you on the line, of course. James, congratulations, I suppose, on last year. Is there a bit of James Fleming that says, God, you know, we need to get an extra 10% to go where we need to go, and is that what you're preparing for this year?
Yeah, I suppose, look, Donal, we did come up short last year. We were probably beaten by Dublin Lions in the Cup. And then in the league against Port Leash, look, we had them on the wrap and just didn't get the job done. But saying that, we're very, very close. We have a very experienced squad with a lot of young girls. And we have strengthened it big time this year. Like Maeve Barry, who was injured for most year last year, is a serious asset to us. We've also brought in Niamh O'Connor, Niamh, who was playing with the Kerry ladies football team, who's an exceptional basketball player. She was a former Irish international, so she's in with us as well. And we also have Mary Kate Smith, who's a serious underage player from Glenbey, as well as Mary Jo Corner's daughter, Tina Coffey. So we have strengthened our squad big time, and we haven't really lost anyone. Bar Cassandra Buckley, who's taking a bit of a sabbatical with us, but we have everyone else on board. And as you said, as I read in the write-up, and it has been really good for us over the last season and gave us loads of publicity. Leah McMahon also is a year older this year, who will be a big asset to us. Maybe didn't play as much as I should have last year, but she's a year older this year and is a serious potential as well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, basketball, I suppose, it's about court time and game time and players getting as much as they can. And I suppose that there's different games that suit different players, probably, depending on who you're coming up against and the whole lot. The importance of having, James, a squad of 10 or 12 players or even more maybe at times, is that the key really to getting through a long season, particularly at National League?
Well, it is. It's again, anyway, Donald, because... we have Horian Scanlon, Denise Dunley, Rhiann O'Shea, Leah McMahon, Tina Coffey. That's five anyway that won't be with us the weekend due to the county championships in the football. All going up to Carlow, missing those.
You'll be going in a small taxi, will you?
Yeah, missing those chairs is quite a lot, you know. Like Denise and Rhiann and Laurie and, you know, are serious... serious players for us. Like Lorraine Scanlon, in my eyes, is probably the best Irish player in Division 1 basketball. You know, her attitude and just the way she does her business.
Yeah.
You know, training, her games, it means the same to Lorraine. And to me, she is, like, I know Mary Jo Corn is probably the best sports person in Kerry, but Lorraine, to me at the moment, is the Mary Jo of sporting Kerry, like that. And I don't say that lightly.
Mm-hmm. And of course, she's had that longevity all the way through from under 14 as well. I mean, she's been making national squads and everything. And like I said, the longevity of the career. You're missing Schieffer, of course. Schieffer's injury.
Yeah, what a talent. You know, unfortunate. You know, I suppose it's very unfortunate for us, but for Schieffer herself, you know, missing. I know she wasn't right Kerry in the All Ireland and. What she did for us last year, she was superb. When we had her, she was brilliant. And another girl, like all those Kerry ladies footballers, their attitude are just unbelievable, you know. And of course, we've strengthened our backroom team this year. We've brought in Manny in to do a bit of the physical work, so he's in the gym with the girls as well. So hopefully that will help us as well. You know, and we thank Aidan for helping out and coming on board with Sheer for yeah. And yeah. Of course, we can't forget her mom, Breed. She's part of our backroom team as well. So, you know, a lovely lady. And we just hope that we'll actually have her back. And maybe not this year, but you wouldn't know. We might line up the league final if we get there. You wouldn't know. We'll put her back there.
God knows, a quick phone call to Cara Daniel and Breed to be up all right. Don't you worry. Come here to me. You're two Pennsylvanians. Both left-handed, actually. That's kind of unusual, I'd imagine. Great hand, obviously, to be playing basketball. You've obviously brought them in. They're with the team. I suppose it's hard to know how they're getting on, I suppose, until they start playing. But obviously, you're exceptionally happy with the signings.
Yeah, look, we played two Super League teams last weekend above in leagues. Look, we played Leeds Celtic and Ulster, University of Ulster, and we played really, really well against both of them. We actually beat both of them above in pre-season games. I know you can't read much into it, but yeah, very happy. Alexa played last year in Essex in England, and is a great girl. And also, you know, we have Jess. Jess was coaching in a college basketball after she took a year out, an exceptional three-point shooter. And you know, the two girls have blended in well. They're great team players, they're great role models to the underage people in the town, and yeah, we're glad to have them.
Mm-hmm. And where can we watch them? When can we watch them? When can we start? Do I buy a season pass? Do I watch it on Clubber? If I've never been to a game before, do you know, I mean, obviously, you know, do something new, get out and support. But I mean, like, Utility Trust St. Paul's, I mean, they need the support of everybody as well, particularly in the stands and shouting and the whole lot.
Yeah, no, look, Basketball Ireland have a great service, Basketball Ireland TV. It's only €50 for the year. You get to see every game, men, women, every game. But obviously, the most important thing is to get the bums in the seats. And the first home game is Saturday, the 7th of October. Now, if that date stands out in your head, Ireland are playing Scotland that day, but not to worry, because the ladies' game is on at 4:30. So they're playing Limerick Celtics that day at home. Then we move on to towards the end of the month, Marble City Hawks are coming the 28th of October. You have two big games then upcoming. You have the Phoenix Rockets on the 18th of November, and on Saturday the 9th of December, you have the McAvoy Cavan Eagles. Now, they would probably be the two strongest teams in the other conference, so having them at home would be a big advantage, you know, because travelling up there is a bit of a nightmare. You have to fly, you have to get a bus, you have a long journey. So getting them at home, you know, it's a big advantage. It's definitely worth a few points, but obviously getting people into the game as well too, and having the big home support is worth a few points as well. Mm-hmm. So I'd urge everyone to call out. First day to think of is Saturday, the 7th of October, 4:30 out in the Aura. There's a brand new spanking floor gone in there, so everything will be pristine out there. Come way out and support the girls, because they deserve your support. And I saw all the games last year. Quality of the play is unbelievable, and you will enjoy it. And you don't have to bring a coat. You'll be bone dry, lovely and warm, and you might even buy a bit of pizza up there.
Absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. Get the Legion man in there then for the pizza as well. Fair play to you. James, I couldn't hear you at all, Asher, on the sidelines. Will you speak up a small bit this year, will you?
No, see, I've been very calm this year, not only because I've a little nephew and a niece that come to the game, so they're giving out about me roaring. So I'll keep it down this year. I'll just say one thing, Donal. Look, there was a lot of bereavement towards last year, like in the wife passed away, and a great friend of mine who was involved in basketball since I started Breed It Up, O'Donoghue, her mother passed away there last week, so I just send my condolences to both while I'm on the radio. It hasn't been easy, and like a big thanks then that like we publicity we got last year. I'm involved in ladies basketball in Clarny a long time, and the publicity we got last year, I've never seen it with Killarney basketball, and you know, and thanks to the support of the locals as well, they've never been found wanting. So look, we have one target this year, and that's to get some silverware and maybe get the girls up Super League. I know Inder said there about Cavan Eagles and Cavan and Phoenix Rockets. I think that the teams to watch this year will be Dublin Lions are going to be serious. They've recruited well, and also don't be surprised if Limerick Huskies are they would be my daft courses this year. They'd be the two that I would be fearful of. Well, it's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great season. Looking forward to already Utility Trust St. Paul's. That, of course, is James Fleming and Enda Walsh. And after the break, we're going to talk to Alexa and Lynn.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
On the line as well. Lynn, delighted to have you back. I thought the announcement was for retirement, but you're obviously going for one more year, are you?
One more year is right. Probably should be retirement, but we give it one more go.
I suppose you can't really retire, because I suppose last year you were so close. I mean, you know, I suppose basketball had faded away for so long in Killarney. Last year you flew the flag and you got so close and got so competitive, and I suppose maybe the cup game was disappointing, maybe, and at the end of the season, I suppose you just got pipped by, I suppose, Portlaoise Panthers in that kind of decider coming down the back straight. Does all that kind of say, God, I want to get back on the court straight away?
Yeah, that was it for me. I suppose if we had won, you know, and had beaten Portlaoise in the final last year, it would have been easier to walk away, you know, and sail off and retire and let the girls go up to Super League and cheer them from the sidelines. But as you say, we were so close. You know, it was actually there for us down the line. If it had been a case of being hammered and we had no chance, you know, that maybe would have been had to make up the decision too. But we're there. We're on the brink. We're very, very close. And it's just, when it's in the town, it's just so hard then to walk away from it, leave it behind.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course, it's a town that has great basketball and, I suppose, history down the years as well. Lynn, is it harder to get ready for a new season? I saw you kind of in and out of, I suppose, the Clarny Community College maybe and doing a bit of warming up and training and the whole lot. Is it hard to get back, or do you kind of bounce back with great excitement?
No, I suppose we had a, you know, it seemed like, I suppose, a short break, but there was, you know, 3 or 4 months off there. And of course, it's just exciting to get back and see a lot of the girls again and the new face that came in. You'll have nights, all right, that you might be kind of maybe slow to get going after a busy day at work or whatever. But once you get there, you know, the energy from the girls is brilliant, and it's infectious, and it's easy to get going then once you're surrounded by those kind of people.
Mm-hmm. And one of the new girls, of course, is Alexa, arriving via the UK, of course, having spent a little bit of time over there in Essex. Alexa, welcome to Kerry. Thanks for having us at the show this evening.
Hi, thanks for having me. Hi, Lynn.
No bother.
Hi, Alexa.
Come here, Alexa. What's it like to team up, I suppose, with a new team? Obviously, you got a couple of games last weekend, as James said, and you get to play with the girls and the whole lot. Is it slow to bed in with a new team, or do you know, is it something that you take to fairly quickly?
It's always a little nerve-wracking coming into a new team, but the girls have been great since the day we got here, so... I mean, I've enjoyed it, and even getting on the court with them last weekend, like, you can already tell, like, it's going to be a great season for us. We mesh really well, and I think, like, it's just all going to click real quickly, and I'm excited to get the season started.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, of course, we didn't get one Pennsylvania, we got two. Jess is with you as well. Do you have a lot to talk about on that front, I'd imagine?
Yeah, I mean, when Lulu recruited me, he asked me if I knew of any shooting guards that maybe wanted to come along with me, and I was like, well, yeah, I do know one. I can see if she's ready to come overseas, and so I got in contact with Jess, and she's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. I'm ready. So it kind of just fell into place that from the same place, you know, a bit of home could come on over with me this time around.
Absolutely, and discover Clarny, the two of you. Come here, 6 foot one, you're a forward or a centre, that kind of player?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
So you're going to be at the end of Lynn Jones's long throws, are you?
She can bring the ball as well. She can do it all.
So she'll mind herself as well. Well, if you get into trouble on the court, Alex, anyway, just get Lynn on. She'll mind you, or she'll go after ones that aren't too nice to you. Come here. You're left-handed as well, Alexa. I mean, that's kind of, it's a minority anyway, first of all, but I presume it's a great advantage too.
What is again? Say that again.
You're left-handed. Both of you are left-handed, actually, Jess, as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're both left-handed, so it is fun. You know, it's something that's harder to scout at the beginning, and hopefully, you know, we can catch teams off guard with both of us being lefties, and yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Lynn, are you being nice to them?
Oh, we're taking care of them as best we can, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're doing very well.
Of course, and Lynn, this is a very important part of the game, you know, to bring in, I suppose, I know people in inverted commas call them Americans and imports and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, they're a treasured part of the team in every team, and settling in. I presume you'll show them Killarney and settle them that way as well.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. I mean, you probably wouldn't be able to realistically compete in, you know, National League at the level it's at the minute without imports, you know, so it's very important. And like last year, they were a focal point for all the teams, and the teams that were competing, you know, at the business end of things had two very strong Americans, you know, so it's crucial. And then, you know, for them, I think, to reach their potential and play their best, they have to be settled and welcome in town and feel, you know, that they're a part of the team and, you know, that they get to know the town. I see even the girls are above, you know, coaching the Dribblers in St. Paul's on a Friday night, and they're really throwing their heart and soul into everything and their best to integrate into the town as quick as they can, and we're doing our very best to make them feel welcome, and we hope that they do, and we're looking forward to a great season ahead with them.
Yeah, absolutely, well said. Alexa, how do you find training the Little Dribblers?
Training the Little Dribblers? Yeah. Oh, it's fun. It's nothing I've ever really done before, but, you know, it's good to meet, you know, all the people in the community and kind of get involved. And even though it can be a little chaotic,
that's a good word for it. Because I was going to say it's challenging.
Exciting. It's on the fly.
The time certainly flies, but it is great to see them all in. And of course, that's the life, I suppose, blood of the sport as well here in Killarney as well, for St. Paul's Club as well. I suppose to get the little ones in and get them training. And sure, you never know, maybe the next Lynn Jones is probably in that group training up in Spar and Dior as well. And that's most important. Alexa, what are your hopes for the season ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I want to make an impact, not just on the court and like with the team, but like with the little dribblers and getting involved more in the community. And I was able to experience a lot of that last year in Essex and really getting involved in like the outreach stuff. So it's more than just the basketball. You know, obviously we're here to play, we're here to win. But just being a part of something bigger than that as well is something that I'm looking forward to. And I can already see it kind of being that way for us. You know, it's hard not to walk around and see someone, you know, to have a conversation with them every day. So and, kind of being a part of the community and being here and just enjoying my time here as well.
Absolutely. It's very important to enjoy the time as well. Listen, Alexa and Lynn, thanks for joining us this evening. The very, very best look for the year ahead. I'm going to trip over that new name, Lynn, for ages, Utility Trust St. Paul's, but it's great to have new sponsors on the line as well with you. The very best look to the year ahead, I suppose, and hopefully you go just one little step further, Lynn, and sure you can retire next year, Lynn, when you've all the medals won.
Donal, my daughter is above in the dribblers with the girls, and I'm hoping to goodness I'd be retired before she hits senior women. If I'm not, there's something gone wrong somewhere.
Well, if she's anything like her mother, she'll be playing senior by the time she's 14 anyway. So, listen, Lynn, don't put too much pressure on. Listen, thanks very much. Great to catch up this evening, and the very best luck in the year ahead. And it's great to have women's basketball in the county as well. Something that's crucial as well in these times as well. A couple of quick comments. Hi, Donal, yourself and the panel do a great job discussing the coin championship. Great bit of humour thrown into, and that's much appreciated from Charles. Charles, great to hear from you. You know, big shout out to you, and great for tuning in. Liam Brosnan will surely sneak into that team 29 or 30 of the championship. And you know, you never know. God almighty, he'll be canvassing for votes as well. Listen, thanks to Keane on sound tonight, Ivan doing all the phone work, and stay tuned because up next is Talks Us with Mary Conroy. She's sitting into her Formula One seat now, and she'll take you through. This is Donal Barry, and we'll do it all again next week.